Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's head to Kauffman Stadium right now to be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited for this weekend set. I think we all are.
What are the expectations, I'm trying to ask, for the attendance? I'm going out there tomorrow for the 2015 celebration. I imagine there's going to be 30, 35,000 people out there. This is a big series this weekend against the Cardinals. What's the expectation from Royals officials about how many fans are going to head out there this weekend?
Oh, I haven't asked anyone what they're expecting, but you had 85,000, more than 85,000 turnout for the Boston Red Sox, and there was no George Brett or Eric Hosmer. There was no World Series ring replica giveaway. There was no George and Brett Saberhagen bobblehead. So if you got 85,000 last week, and you know, Red Sox fans certainly travel, but they don't travel like Cardinals fans travel when the I-70 series is going on. So you have to expect at least on average 30,000, so north of 90. I'm expecting a sellout tonight, a sellout tomorrow, and yeah, 27 to 29 coming up on Sunday. This place should be jumping. Now, this weekend can be ruined if the boys don't handle their business on the field, which I think is pretty cool, C-Dot. We haven't had many collections of the 1985 team where they returned to Kauffman Stadium and that wasn't the big story, where the game on the field wasn't an afterthought. In my opinion, the game is at the forefront of why you're coming out to this weekend series.
So Seth Lugo was scheduled to pitch for the Royals tomorrow. He is not going to pitch for the Royals tomorrow. It sounds like Noah Cameron is going to pitch. Yeah. What can you tell us about Seth Lugo?
He has inflammation in his right middle finger. The team isn't presenting it as overly concerned. They're presenting it as if it's similar to what they did with Cole Reagans when he was dealing with that groin injury, where he can still pitch. He might be able to pitch through it, but why in the month of May would you ask a guy in Seth Lugo to pitch through it? So especially when you have someone down in the minor leagues that you know can handle his own at the big league level, right? It's not as if this team is now scrambling that they'll have to skip a Seth Lugo start, and hopefully it's just skipping one start. That's the hope from the organization. That's the hope from all of us. And it's obviously a wise move with the kinetic chain. You can, you know, move your middle finger and you can see the nerves and tendons going all the way up your forearm into your elbow. So yeah, be careful with Seth Lugo because this is a very valuable commodity, not just for a team that's trying to win the division, but also the fact that Seth Lugo can opt out of his contract coming up in about 4 or 5 months from now. He could be a very valuable piece. Down the stretch could be a very valuable piece at the trade deadline, too.
I mean, this is exactly why you build depth, that when an injury happens throughout the course of the year, you're not worried about it. Now, I know we've seen Noah Cameron in a very limited setting, but the last time we saw him, he was fantastic. You certainly feel good about him in a spot start pitching for the Royals tomorrow.
Yeah, and how cool is it going to be for him and his family, right? A kid that grew up rooting on the Royals, cheering for the Royals, going to Kauffman Stadium in Royals gear, growing up in St. Joseph, Missouri. he's now going to be out in the bullpen throwing to Salvador Perez, more than likely. I don't know. Actually, they might give, you know, Salvi the day off behind the dish tomorrow. Nonetheless, how cool is it going to be for a St. Joseph kid to pitch on the day where not only is he pitching in front and for his favorite team and his fan base, but also in front of Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas and the guys that certainly when he was a 15-year-old watching them win the world title, it's got to be a pretty surreal moment tomorrow when he toes the slab here at the K.
What are you expecting tomorrow? Because the Royals, they do such a really good job, I think, at knocking these kind of things out of the park. Like, I'm really excited for tomorrow. I'm excited to be going tomorrow. Just the celebration. It doesn't feel like it's been a decade to see all of them back on the field, to see all the pageantry, to see them interact with each other. For us to get a chance to thank them for everything they accomplished a decade ago, I'm expecting it to be a very fun and emotional celebration to the 2015 team.
Yeah. And to go back to your great conversation you had with Eric Hosmer a few days ago, and just how much that team ingratiated itself not just with their play and the winning, but with their personalities and the way that they purposely reached out to the city, to the fan base, to the area. I would imagine something similar tomorrow, like what we saw last year, which I thought was awesome, when they celebrated the 2014 team, when they would announce each guy and they would almost run through the crowd, right? You could give high fives to Lokane and James Shields last year. I would like to see something similar, because this was a very community-oriented ball club, led, of course, by Dayton Moore, who's always focused on the community first and foremost. I think that has to be present tomorrow, right? It was the city's team. It was a team that changed the city, and I'd like to see the city be able to touch that team one more time.
When you think back to that time in your life, the 14 and 15, and we'll get back to present day, but let's take a little bit of a journey, a trip down memory lane. What do you think about the most? We were talking about this with Hosmer. Is the thing that I remember most is just how it felt like it came out of nowhere. The Royals were a 500 team in August, and the next thing you know, you look up and they're in the wild card game. The next thing you know, you look up and they're hosting game one of the World Series. It has felt like things went from ho-hum to this is the greatest thing I've ever experienced in a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, and it's weird, and you brought this up to Hosmer as well. 2014 was more fun. You know, as we sit here tomorrow to celebrate the 2015 team, a squad that allowed us to sit here today and say that 2014 was more fun, right? If they don't finish the job in 2015, we still look back on it fondly. But there's no way we would be able to fix our lips and say, man, wasn't that awesome? Even the end, even losing in Game 7, while now we can look back and say, it's almost as if that didn't happen. You know, I think Ryan Lefevre always puts it best. Everyone inside the ballpark after Game 7 in 2014 was like, wait, no, it's not supposed to end like this. No, we're not, crying or anything, but hang on. That's not how it was supposed to end. I think we can now look back on that fondly because of what the guys did in 2015. The things that come back to my mind selfishly is how bad I was at radio 10 years ago, and hopefully I'm not saying the same thing 10 years from now, but as far as the team is concerned, the way that these guys always picked one another up, you know, as I'm grinding through another season of post-game show phone calls and text messages and people hitting the panic button, I mean, that same stuff was going on in 2015. Now, a lot of it happened at the tail end of the season, a lot of the panic and, oh boy, this is all for naught. But I would like to think that we are a better fan base that understands the game a little bit better and understands the importance of the clubhouse. And that's why, and I've said this to you a few times, it's why I think we'll look back on April of this year. For as disappointing as the offense was, for at times as disappointing as the team was, what that month did to the clubhouse to bring a tight-knit group even closer, man, we learned how important playing for one another, trusting one another is with that 2015 team, and I think it's on display 10 years later.
I think that in a lot of ways, sports mirrors life in a lot of ways, that I don't care how much you play in, something is usually going to go wrong. And it usually comes down to how you respond to the thing that went wrong. Like, you can plan and plan and plan but things will never go exactly how you plan. I think about the Royals in 2014 and 2015. You think to the comeback against the Houston Astros. Well, wait, we got to figure things out on the fly. And I think we have learned, especially with the Chiefs over the last 5-6 years or so, that one of the characteristics of a great team is we can overcome our mistakes and still figure out a way to win. And the Royals in 2014 and 15, they pretty routinely figured out a way to capitalize on the other team's mistakes and just put themselves in a position where at the end of 9 innings, they were going to outscore their opposition.
You know, for as much as we want to remember everything being great in 2015, it obviously wasn't. You didn't have an ace for most of the season. That's why you parted with three lefty arms to bring in a guy like Johnny Cueto. Things weren't great even offensively. Now, they were good. They were obviously better than this team is offensively through the first 45 games. But they needed someone to kind of team up with Lorenzo Cain with quality, consistent at-bats, and they parted with Sean Manai to bring in Ben Zobrist. Yeah, no doubt about it. All great teams have to overcome adversity. I'm interested. I don't think this team's faced it yet. I'm talking about the 2025 Royals, for as trying as the month of April was, you and I have been around long enough to know something even more difficult awaits, right?
No, 100%. Vern, I am actually curious to get your thoughts on this because you watch the Royals so closely. I was late to the party and maybe seeing it with the Royals. Like, it wasn't really until, I would say, game two against the Angels that it kind of hit me. Hey, the Royals might actually be really good. Like, where have I been this entire time? You watched them as closely as anybody. Did you kind of have that moment where, hey, this team might be a little bit better than I originally thought they were?
No, man, I don't think I, like, sobered up or came off a high until the conclusion of Game 2 of the ALCS. Because I remember Game 2 in Baltimore being in the broadcast booth before the game and listening to Denny Matthews, as we always do. And I'm listening to Denny just kind of a throwaway comment of, if the Royals win tonight, this series is over. They're not coming back to Baltimore. Basically saying, if the Royals win game two, it's going to be a four-game sweep. So I tucked that into my back pocket. And then when the Royals did ultimately win game two, I came out of the postgame show and just ripped off Denny. I'm screaming, oh, we're not coming back here. This series is over. Just all the confidence in the world that comes with parroting the GOAT in Denny Matthews. So I would say then, that was the first time I thought, oh my freaking God, this team's going to go to the World Series. Up until then, it was just a magic carpet ride from the wild card game to Moose's walk-off, or not walk-off, but extra inning blast to Hosmer's extra inning blast, and suddenly Mike Trout's punching out at Kauffman Stadium and the guys are going to Baltimore and I'm making all the trips with them. So, man, it was the best time of it was the best time of my life, at least, going into that 2014 run. But again, this again is another reflection of just how great that 2014 run was, and we're only allowed to truly enjoy it because of what the guys did in 2015.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Furner. Just a couple more 2015 questions, and then we'll get back to present day. Do you have a favorite player from that time? We got asked this question for our social media feed. I've always just loved Ben Zobrist. I don't know what it was, but he just was like a do-everything guy. It didn't matter whatever the Royals needed him to do in 2015. He did it with a smile on his face. He then named his kid Royal. I love Ben Zobrist. He's my favorite player from that time. Do you have one from the 2015 team?
Well, God knows Ben Zobrist deserves it after that devil. But
you said it, not me.
Ben Zobrist was the playoff MVP of that season. Ben Zobrist was outstanding, but no, I wouldn't say that he was my favorite. Personally, my favorite to interact with, to talk with, was Wade Davis. My favorite to watch, of course, and I always enjoyed interacting with him as well, but I just never wanted to bother him because it... Lorenzo Cain. Loved watching Lorenzo Cain. He was the straw that stirred the drink for that 2015 team. So Wade Davis was my favorite to interact with. Lorenzo Cain was my favorite to watch, not only on the field, but the way that he would interact with his teammates inside the clubhouse, the way that his teammates, not just Salvi, loved to mess with him, the way that they loved to celebrate him, right? Lo Cain always looking for someone's birthday so he could have a piece of cake. Cain and Wade Davis, I would say, would be my 1-2.
right now. We're talking to our
pretty chalk.
No, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, what I think the beauty of the 14 and 15 team is right now, everybody has the same favorite Royal. It's Bobby Witt Jr., right? When you go out there, everybody is wearing Witt's jersey. What was cool about 14 and 15 is everybody had their own favorite Royal. Maybe you liked Kane. Maybe you liked Alcides Escobar. Maybe it was Gordon. Maybe it was Hosmer. Like, part of the beauty of the 15 team was it wasn't really about the greatness of one individual. It was about the greatness of them as an entire team. Some people's favorite player from the 2015 teams is their seventh inning relief guy. You can't think of too many great teams that people feel that way about.
Right. You didn't mention Hosmer. You didn't mention Greg Holland. You didn't mention Ned Yost. People now looking back are trying to convince me that they always loved
Ned Yost. You already know how people are. People know back then that they wanted the Chiefs to draft Deshaun Watson and not Patrick Mahomes. And now people are making it seem like they've always loved and appreciated Ned Yost. I was here, right, Vern. I remember that's what happened.
You might be able to get that by Dusty. But you ain't getting that by CDOT, and you ain't getting that by me. We've been here way too long.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Vern, I kind of feel like with the Royals, they are the most simple team to figure out. Like, you don't even have to watch the Royals at this point. All you need to do is text your friend, how many runs did the Royals score today? And that's going to answer your question. I don't have to know how the pitching performed. I don't have to know about the bullpen. I don't need to know anything. Ask your friend, how many runs did they score? And if he tells you two, the odds suggest that they probably lost the game. If he tells you four, you can assume that the Royals won. It really feels like it's boiled down to something very simple with the Royals, and are they going to get enough offense that day?
Well, yeah, and that's a reflection of the best rotation in Major League Baseball. So really the question is, can that continue? Can this rotation continue to carry an offense that, even though they've performed better in the month of May, it's still an offense that ranks bottom five in baseball in runs per game, in OPS, in expected weighted on base percentage? It's a bottom five offense in the totality of the 2025 season. If that continues, I do not believe that even the best rotation can carry a bottom five offense to a division title. It might be able to carry them to a sixth seed in the American League. It might be able to backdoor them into the postseason, but it's going to be nip and tuck like it was last year. You're going to make it in by a game, maybe by two games. The offense remains the aspect of the team that is holding them back from being their best. The one thing that I'm tired of hearing is, it's killing us, Vernier. The offense is crushing us. It's killing us. You're five games above 500. You're on pace to win 90 games. Nothing's killing you right now. Now, sure, the offense is holding you back from being your best, but you're still one of the best in the junior circuit, and there's no reason to believe that this organization, which each of the past two seasons has addressed its biggest need, whether that's pitching depth in 2023 when they bring in Cole Reagans, or it's bullpen like it was last year and they bring in Lucas Erceg and Hunter Harvey. This year, the biggest hole right now is offense, and I have no reason to believe that they won't bring in the offensive version of Cole Reagans or Lucas Erceg. I understand that's a big ask, but that's what it takes to win consistently in a market like this, and that's the task on the desk of J.J. Piccolo right now.
No, Vern, you're 100% right. Anybody saying that the Royals is killing them, they're wrong. This, to me, is the difference in the Royals being good and great. The Royals can be good with the offense that they have right now. They were good last year. You can make the postseason. You can win 85 games. You can be a wild card team. You can make baseball fun. The Royals can't be great, I think, with their offense. They can't be consistent with their offense. So if this team is going to try to take that next step from going from a team that is very good to a team that could potentially be great, at some point they're going to have to do something to get a more consistent production from their offense.
And you're seeing them make slight changes now, which, again, right now the only thing that matters is winning. Are you winning? And the answer right now is yes. Plenty of time to make changes to the roster, bring in that bat, call up another bat, whatever it might be. But you see today, Dairon Blanco is back on the bench. So they now have that late game pinch runner, something that we've known for years, dating back to 2015 and 1985. That base running edge needs to be just that for Kansas City. And now with Blanco able to pinch run for Salvi, for Vinny, for Freddie, for somebody late, that's going to help. And, you know, you look at the Royals, they've lost three of the last four. The three losses are a combined, are by a combined four runs. So having that pinch runner tonight is big. And you're also seeing Michael Massey make his first ever professional start in left field as Jonathan India's at second base. And to me, that's a direct reflection of India's hitting and Massey is not. We continue to sacrifice defense for the possible offensive improvement because Michael Massey, while I believe he's a better left fielder than Jonathan India is, I also believe that Massey's the best defensive second baseman on this team. But India's hitting, so you want him moving around less. You want to get that bat going even hotter than it is right now. Massey, you need to earn an everyday spot in the field. Right. You're the best defensive second baseman, but you're just not hitting enough for us to cement you into a spot. So you're going to see Jonathan India at second, Michael at third, and Massey in left more times than not moving forward. Matt Quatrero telling me earlier that he's looking for consistency from his defense, and he likes this configuration with Massey in left.
That is our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. You're going to hear from him in a couple of hours as the Royals get ready to play host to the St. Louis Cardinals for a very fun and exciting series this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. Vern, I'll try to run into you tomorrow when I'm out at the stadium. Really good catching up with you, my friend.
All right, I'll have you on the pregame tonight. Need another winner from you, man.
You know what? I might give you a winner for today. I might also give you a little parlay. I might be feeling a
Go
little
ahead.
Frisky today.
Go
I might
ahead.
Give you a little two-leg parlay today. That is our guy, Josh Vernier.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.